You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our guest in this half hour is Etta West. She is from Vaccine Choice Canada and the founder of that group. Etta, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's tell our listeners a little bit about how you got concerned about vaccines and, you know, what happened after that.
Okay, well, that's a broad question, but thanks for asking. I've been involved in vaccine advocacy work for 35 years. My youngest daughter suffered a severe reaction to measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine in 1979. So it's been a long journey of meeting many people over the years whose children are vaccine injured, and watching this problem grow over time as more and more vaccines have been added to the vaccine schedule. Yes, so it's been a long journey.
How is your daughter today? And yes. You know, it's because it's been quite a few years.
Yes, she did recover, thankfully, which I'm very grateful for. Unlike so many other families whose children have not been that fortunate, she was also vaccinated in an era where there were far fewer vaccines than what is injected into children today. I mean, since the mid-1980s until now, the vaccine schedule has more than doubled, close to tripled, the amount of vaccines that are injected into babies and young children. So it's the babies and young children that get the brunt of the schedule. And one of the big problems that has emerged for myself as a researcher and a reader and a person who's an activist involved in helping people find information so that they can make an educated choice about vaccines is that the vaccine paradigm or the science of vaccinology as it is practiced today is disregarding a large body of evidence that has shown for about 30 years now that when you perturb the infant immune system and the young child immune system in the first 2 to 3 years of life, and you create these huge inflammatory responses to the vaccines that are injected, it can also seriously interfere with brain development. So a child's brain, the first 3 years are the most critical years of life. And what we now know from over 30 years of neuroscience research is that you can't perturb that young immune system without also risking damage to the developing brain. And that very succinct thing that I just said is really the crux of the issue that most parents don't understand. They've never heard that. The majority of doctors have either never heard it or have discounted it because their lives are so busy. Very few doctors have the time to take out and start researching complex neuroscience literature. But we have some excellent neuroscientists here in Canada at the University of British Columbia who have worked on this for quite a number of years. And, you know, they have shown in their research and in their published articles that we have a huge problem injecting these numbers of vaccines so early in life. And that is, you know, we are creating many degrees of brain injuries in young children. You know, so we have an explosion of learning disabilities, of neuroimmune disorders, allergic disorders. It's a big, long list. Our children today are way sicker than they ever were 30 years ago, prior to this explosion of vaccines that are now injected. So there you go. I'll take a breath and you can ask another question if you like.
Why is it, Etta, that we don't hear a lot about this in the press? Why is it that it seems when somebody comes out to speak against vaccination that they get lambasted in the press, you know, over these issues? What, you know, why is this such a sacred cow?
Oh, that's a really key question. I'm so glad you brought it up. It's because the press has been ordered not to report on any of these concerns. I mean, literally, I've been in touch with very well-known veteran journalists over the last, you know, who have been in the journalistic business and have been writers, mainstream writers, for decades. And literally, they are forbidden, literally forbidden to write anything that raises concerns about vaccines. You know, a lot of that has to do with big pharma funding. A lot of mainstream news outlets are controlled by big pharma money. And there has been a concerted effort right from the World Health Organization down over the last 10 years to annihilate and completely block any information coming from our side, which is looking at risks associated with vaccines. And, you know, and they, you know, there's also this rhetoric of the anti-vaccination movement. Well, there is no such thing. The anti-vaccination movement is comprised of people like myself who had frightening, who saw their children have frightening reactions to a vaccination, or whose children then went on to develop, severe chronic injuries. And so we are simply the voices of the parents and researchers who are trying to get information out to the public that says, we're not saying don't vaccinate your children. That's really an individual medical decision that parents have to make. But they're not given the means by which to make an informed decision. And the only way you can make an informed decision is really to take the time and read the literature. So we've got right now, this information isn't getting out because there's a complete 100% media blackout in mainstream news on reporting anything to do with vaccine risks. Okay.
So, Etta, are you saying, I don't hear you saying that vaccines don't work. Do vaccines work?
Well, you know, that's a really important question because, of course, they work. Okay. Yes, vaccines definitely suppress certain infectious diseases. But they don't work as well as if you have natural immunity from having had the disease. So, you know, I'm at age 72 now. I had measles as a kid. My children had measles as children. They're already in their 40s and 50s. But then the vaccine came along, and it suppressed the disease very effectively, which meant that it took measles out of regular every 2 or 3 years circulation in the community, which then all kids would get. By the time children were 15, 95% of children had measles and had developed lifelong immunity. Okay, so we don't have lifelong immunity anymore. We have artificial short-term immunity that's provided by the vaccines. And the big problem with that is that the immunity wears off. So if somebody comes from a country where they've been exposed to measles, even if they've been vaccinated, the chances are if they're an adult now, they're no longer immune. So they can get measles and they can also pass it on to other people, both those who are unvaccinated and those who are vaccinated. So what they've done, what vaccinology has done, it has undone all of the good that nature did over millennia to ensure that we would develop natural lifelong immunity to some serious diseases. It's completely undone that good and has imposed artificial immunity, which isn't lifelong. So that's a long answer to your question of do vaccines work. They work, but they work only temporarily. And then we have no idea how many people are walking around who have no immunity whatsoever. So it's a big, huge problem, and it's going to get worse. And it's all predicted in the medical literature. They've done mathematical modeling, which shows very clearly that as the old naturally immune people die off, like myself and most people in my generation, let's say anybody who's born after about 1969, 1970, anybody who's born prior to that era is probably naturally immune to measles and other infectious diseases. When we die off, the only naturally immune people that will be left alive are those who are artificially immune through vaccines that does not give lifelong immunity. And the mathematical modelings show that many of the diseases will come back with a vengeance as a result. So that's where we are. It's kind of a depressing place. And no admittance in the mainstream that this is occurring. You have to have the time to go into the medical literature, the scientific literature, and you will find all the information that I'm just sharing.
We're talking with Etta West. She is from Vaccine Choice Canada. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about vaccinations and their possible side effects.